Yeah, basically, my group of people was joining with another group of people that were there already at a checkpoint, and the cops started using metal extendable batons, to start attacking people, basically, when we tried to merge the two groups together. And just started beating people with a lot of extendable batons, like of several cops, and pepper spray, a lot of pepper spray in people's eyes. A friend of mine got pepper sprayed in the eyes, and I can't find him right now. But a friend told me he got hit really bad. I didn't see anyone get arrested. There weren't a lot of cops at first, and I think they just were very violent. They didn't want protesters there. They didn't want an angry voice to be in the streets right then. And we were you know, riled up and we were excited, and they saw that coming. And the reaction was to smack down very violently.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day to you. This is Sean Kennedy with his special co-host, Samarian.
Greetings.
For reporting to you from the internet for Monday, January 24th, 2005. And we got a great show and lined up here for you today, which everyone always says that every time they log on to any show, everywhere from radio to video to whatever.
What a great show we have for you today.
What a great show I got lined up
today. We got some great guests and some great musical talent
coming up. It's all just great. We spell it G-R-A-T-E, so that gradually, over periods of time, it'll wear all the flesh off of your bones. It's so hard, you know. You try to stay so positive, and then you start looking at these news stories that are online and everything, and it's just...
Wears you down.
It does, you know.
The world's going to hell.
Well, that thing I got at the beginning, just before the intro there, that's a from some protester who was down at the inauguration speech, which let's hope that Sparky makes it back from wherever he went to.
Yeah, hopefully he's not round up in a camp, in a free speech camp or something.
Yeah, hope he's not in the free speech camp getting his free speech tattoos and making sure he's not getting free speech processed. Free speech labeled and categorized
and tagged, and
you get to go over from the free speech zone to the free speech cattle car and get to go to the work camp where it says free speech will make you free. So I'm sorry, I'm just a little concerned about Sparky. Hope you're okay, buddy.
I haven't heard anything back from him, so I don't know yet.
No,
he's supposed to be back pretty soon.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so. He's supposed to be back.
Supposed
so
to be.
I'm gonna stop looking at the donations list right now because
it's distracting.
I'm supposed to be saying every time that I've been reading this out, it's for this month, it's been December's, because we only have a tally once a month.
Yes.
And it's really unfortunate because I keep doing this and then people donate and then they get on sim and they're like, listen, you monkey, why isn't Sean saying my name? And the reason why, of course, is because I only get the tally list once a month. So I'm sorry. Right. I'm going to, from now on, try to remember.
So at the end of January, he'll be reading January. So in February 1st, it'll be January's donations.
Which, and beyond that, it's all Sim. It's not my fault. No, it's that's totally my bad.
Yeah, blame it on
so,
me. Yeah.
So don't go killing Sim for that. That's my problem. Getting, we got some more feedback here. Do you have any feedback, Sim?
No, this is your show.
This is my show, so we got some feedback here.
I just laugh. That's just what
laugh.
I'm here for.
You're like my you're the alternative Ed McMahon.
That's exactly right. Alternative. I'm so alternative.
You're the anti.
Look at my sweater.
It's
alternative.
You're anti Ed McMahon. Think of everything that Ed McMahon is.
He's fat.
He's fat. American, old, meat eating, right?
Yes. Well, assumedly.
And he's got that Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes that rips off those old people, you know, and he's like, you know, you got to know it's mine because it got my picture on the front.
Oh, yeah. He's the typical, like, spokesperson for everything, right? It's like
Vegan. Oh. The anti-Ed McMahon. So, anyway, on to some feedback here. Hey, Sean. Well, a friend and I were inspired by Bastard Guy's performance. Now, Bastard Guy was a guy who went to Toronto and decided to print out a bunch of posters and begin plastering them.
Like Queen Street or whatever.
Young Street, I think
Young
it was.
Street.
Yeah, I think it was Young Street or Queen Street. It's one of those streets.
Yeah, there's a crossroad there.
Main Street. One of the big thoroughfares there in the little sunny village of Toronto where they were, you know.
Putting up the flyers, looking good.
Spreading the virus is what they were doing. And I thought that was great. So Bastard Guy did that in Toronto. And this is a letter from Desert Runner, who's in Australia. So a friend and I were inspired by Bashkai's performance, and we decided to hit up our capital city with Rant Radio Flyers, which in Australia would be the one with all the sails on that big boat.
There.
It's always in the books. What's it called?
Sydney. Queensbury.
I think it's no. Sydney, man. I think Sydney.
Sydney. Yeah, Sydney, Australia.
We put them up on walkways around the city, and we got one put up in for a month in an independent music store. Hooray!
Whoa.
That's awesome. That
is really good.
Yeah, especially for an indie music store, because they'd be all about that. As we were walking around looking for more places to put them, we came across a TV news cameraman setting up. And setting up. Oh, I totally just lost my place. I hate that shit.
Setting up, and I was wearing...
I was wearing my Rant Radio shirt. We decided not to let this opportunity pass by. We asked the cameraman if he minded doing a shot of me in it. He agreed. So as I walked back with the camera for about 5 seconds, I walked with my back to the camera for about 5 seconds. We thanked the cameraman, and he told us to do everything he could to get that shot in the news.
Ooh, very sweet.
Yeah, and the cameraman might be like, because you know a lot of those cameramen are... Well, they're
yeah, it's rolling.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and a lot of them are beat down. A lot of them are pretty bitter guys.
Get this shot of these puppies.
Yeah, go get the shot. And
God.
Like
another puppy story.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them are really artists. You know, cameramen. Yeah. You know, running around with cameras, just like point and click. Okay, you got to know your stuff. It's not easy stuff. So that's really cool. That's from Desert Runner Serving. So cheers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So good for you. And that's the best thing you can do, by the way. If you don't got any money. Because, you know, well...
There are free things you can do to help out.
There are free things you can do. And once again, you know, spreading the virus is the number one thing, man. Give it out to
people.
Number one. Talk to whoever you want. Talk to especially your friends at school, whatever. If you're a college and university, of course.
Actually, in the Rant newsletter, I give a list of things people can do. And there's lots of free stuff they can do.
How do they get the Rant newsletter if they want to help out Rant?
Go to rantradio.com, and it's on the right-hand side at the top. Just type in your email address, click send. And
wow.
You'll be signed up, and we'll tell you all about stuff that's going on.
It's just that easy.
It's just that easy.
And pretty soon, then, you'll have Rant Media momentum. Anyway, that's just a running joke Sim and I had from an old Kids in the Hall sketch. It's
that's
just like, we got to do this. We're coming close on that
It's
our trip.
Two weeks away.
We're going to New York.
New York. So anybody in New York, drop me a line, info@rantradio.com, and we'll set you up with, like, we're going to go out there, do a little rant meet and stuff like that. Yeah.
And
it'll be
up.
Fun. Hang out.
Give away some stickers and stuff.
Oh yeah!
If you can make it down, we'd love to see you. If not, then no one will show up, and we'll get bored and go home. Got another letter here, dear Sean. Ever heard of this thing? I think it'll interest you. It appears to be something of a Burning Man idea, but smaller and in the forest instead of the desert, and a shorter drive.
Shorter for who?
Well, shorter, yeah, depending. And not for the people in Hawaii. They've decided to set on a location or date for. They've yet to decide on a location or date for 2005, but I'm considering going. It's an annual free non-commercial gathering for the healthy evolution of life culture, encouraging individual and group autonomy, celebrating independent arts and culture, exploring do-it-yourself technologies, and encouraging a harmonious relationship with the earth.
Sounds very Burning Man.
It's called Mutant Fest, and you can get it at mutantfest.org. Now, that's from Pig Monkey, send me that. Anybody who's got any information on festivals like this that are not just, you know, backyard things, but are of a fair size, that they're looking for people to go to these things, I need to know about these. This is exactly the kind of stuff I need to know about.
So anything in North America, really, right?
Anything in North America, anywhere in North America, if it's an annual convention where every...
Cool festivals with cool people.
Freaky people show up there. And we don't want, you know, I'm not interested in Aryan skinhead rallies, none of that stuff.
Those aren't cool.
Yeah, we're looking for cool, freaky, nutty stuff that we can go down there and film. And then get
artsy,
back to
creative people.
Yeah, you bet. And who'd be into what we're doing and what we're all about here. That's perfect what we want. So thank you very much, Pig Monkey. But if anybody else finds any more of that, please send it my way. Sean, been listening to Tales from the After now on and off again recently. When the RIAA and the MPAA come out with a listener's license, you should sue for intellectual property theft. Even copyrighting the idea would be severely hardcore, even if it only served to put bucks in your pocket. They're going to do it anyway. Why not enrich someone who can do good with the money? / you. Truth and honor, Melican. Well, you know, that's an interesting idea, but unfortunately that's kind of against what I do, but I can definitely see your point.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they do, and I'm not into suing people because they heard an idea I had and thought it was good. That's not really why I did that. And besides, I've already done more damage by telling people about the listener's license than, anything else. So I'm happy with it, but it is coming, though. I mean, the point of the whole email is, yeah, the listener's license is coming.
Well, they have it in Britain. Why not here?
Oh, sure. And we've already got, there's articles that have been bouncing around on the web. I haven't got anything really solid to report yet, I mean, but there's lots of talk about this sort of an idea of a listener's license idea.
Let's just put it all together. You don't have to sign up for this or that. One listener's
it's
license.
It's coming. We got stories about that. But first, we have a sort yourself out. Dear Sean. What's a wog? What is the wog's perspective on eating meat?
Don't do it. No, just kidding.
Well, to be honest with you, it's kind of funny now when people say, I like meat. So the reason I eat meat is because you like it, because it's tasty. And then there's certain protein aspects, whatever people have been taught, it's been taught in schools, that you have to eat a certain amount of meat. Otherwise, you will grow up all, you know, disjointed. And everybody knows, everyone's got the skinny vegetarian story where they're like, I had a friend who was vegetarian. He was so skinny and he was sick all the time.
Sick and he die.
Okay, well, the problem is I could come back with that saying, well, I know a whole bunch of people that eat meat and they're fat. So
they can't get out of bed anymore.
And the problem is now we got all this mad cow stuff. We got all this stuff to talk about avian bird sickness from down in the States.
Yep.
They got this crazy amount of
all these animals getting sick.
And feeding other animal stuff. And then there's the drugs and the genetics they seem to be putting in the animals. It's kind of freaking me out a little bit. So me personally, I've cut my personal meat consumption way back. And what do you know? I'm losing weight and I'm getting over my flu like amazingly quick. Which is kind of funny that, you know, you'd be doing that with a... hang on. What's going on here?
Nothing. We're good.
Cool?
Look. Wa-da-da.
Sorry. I was very...
Sean
freaked out at the weird music thing because it seems to be going back and forth and it's freaking me out there. It's doing its thing.
Don't look at it. Let me turn off the monitor.
Stop looking at it. Don't look at it.
Don't look at me.
Sorry about that. So yeah. What is the walk's perspective on eating meat? I would cut it back as much as you can and consider
everything
the source.
Everything in moderation.
Don't buy meat in the supermarket. Let me tell you that. How about that for starters? Don't buy meat. Don't eat fast food at all.
Yeah. Know your source.
Yeah, if Uncle Buck shot it, you know, whatever. I mean, you can do your own thing with the morals and ethics and all the rest of it. I don't want to go there, all right? But personally...
From a health perspective,
I'm avoiding all factory farm food, period. That's it. Like, if it's factory farm meat, I'm just not interested. So, I mean, if you've got a source for organic stuff, I would definitely recommend that. So, the WOG perspective... What is the WOG, quote-unquote, perspective on eating meat? Well... What does it do? How well does it do it? Is a criteria for all things. Now, it could be argued that meat takes more energy and more processes to create. Therefore, it's actually...
It's wasteful.
It's extremely wasteful. And it's really not that great of a source continuing. And as well, we're not really going to... There's a lot of threats that go with it. So I would say that as the meat industry functions correctly... Meat is not a favored item in the WOG world, okay? Right. I mean, I can't say that WOGs don't eat it because everyone's different. Everyone's
there are people that eat meat, and they're not going to stop.
Yeah, the whole point of being WOG is that everyone's distinctive. So, I mean, just because I say that, but I would think that from my criteria of judging, you know, what does something do, how well does it do it, what's a good effective medium, I would recommend avoiding
it. It's like,
it.
Pop's bad for you, but people like pop, so don't go nuts on pop, right?
Yeah,
that same kind of thing.
Well,
right?
pop is, you know, toxic pretty much, but now it's getting really bad where they're saying that this mad cow thing...
that's just dangerous,
there's a lot of talk saying that mad cow disease, the prions and all that sort of stuff, is actually what's causing Alzheimer's. There's people who are throwing that around, saying that, oh, wow, since mad cow and all these breeding farm techniques have gone up, Alzheimer's has gone through the roof. And they don't do autopsies that often on Alzheimer's patients anymore. And the reason why is because if they do that, you can contaminate everything because you actually cut open their head, and that's where all the damage is.
All comes out, and you have to burn everything.
Yeah, and you can't even burn it. It's the ashes and
throw
everything.
Throw it away. You can't, bury it
yeah,
and forget about it.
You'd have to seal it somewhere. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Nice.
These prions are nasty, nasty little things. So I had a thought here. Here's an opinion piece, which I want to talk to Sim about.
Okay.
Right now we have all these people on medication, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens is that medication, what it does in our society, for those of you listening at home, in case you haven't noticed, probably you know about half the people you know are probably medicated right now through, you know,
drug companies, yeah.
Pfizer or whatever. Everyone's taking these drugs. Now, what these drugs do is they make it so that you can cope after one fashion or another. They're designed, supposedly, to help you cope.
Cure what ails you.
Yeah, right. So that
my life's too hectic.
I'm sad. Okay, good for you. Here's some pills. You'll be happy now.
Right.
Okay, now... Well, what happens when we have, and they're highly addictive.
Yes.
Now, if you miss taking your pill, right, or you don't have your pills or whatever.
I've heard of very adverse effects.
Right. Now, here's a question for you. What happens if the medication, for whatever reason, stops? What if the company has a critical shortage and they just don't ship for, like, they close?
What if the flow of prosium stops?
Yeah, what if it stops?
Yeah, because I just saw Equilibrium last night.
And that's right.
That's
what if we disrupt the flow of prosium?
The prosium.
Yeah, what if it stops? Will all the people kill themselves? Will people no longer have coping mechanisms because of the world around them? And you'll suddenly have 3/4 of the populace of the United States go insane all
feeling
at the same
again?
Time? Yeah, like...
Feeling their real emotions rather than being dulled down to a
well, not
flat line?
Not only will they be feeling like emotions, but they'll go the other way.
Yeah.
You see, they'll go despairing.
Yes.
That's really frightening.
Because it's overwhelming.
It'd be like, imagine 3/4 of America going junky and getting all sketchy. I mean, that's
that is frightening.
That is a scary concept, because now, if these you want to talk about a terrorist attack, well, hey.
Cut off the drug supply.
Cut off the drug supply, and whoa, Americans will just be, you know, that'll be it for that country.
I don't think that would be a very good thing.
No, I don't think it'd be a very good
thing. I mean,
thing.
To get everyone off of it, possibly, eventually. That might
it'd be
okay.
It'd be great.
There's some people that do need it. There's some crazy people out there, totally unbalanced.
Yeah, but there's always been crazy people.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of really
they
good
art... They live in the shack up on the hill.
Yeah, sure. And why not? And as long as they're happy, then what the hell, you know? I mean, there's always going to be crazy people, and I always want, you know, crazy people to have a place where they can call their own. Like Grant Media, for example.
Welcome!
But that's... everything is possible at ZomboCon. so, I think that... I'm curious about what we'll have. What's the contingency plan if we run out of, you know, Prozac?
Yeah.
You know, is it like, because we have the flu shot. There was that big thing of
yeah.
the flu
they
shot.
Ran
they
out
ran
in
out
the
of
States.
The flu, you know, or yeah. they said they did and then yeah. sparked this big thing.
Now well, we get, found some more. Never
you
mind.
Can get a needle with 30 times the mercury content that it's supposed to have, and off you go. Now, we're into the news, which is great because I get to lead off with just a fantastic story about one of my favorite groups of people. Focus on the Family.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Now, for those of you young listeners who weren't yet to be born, back in the 80s, Focus on the Family made everybody's life really, really, really shitty. And the way they did that was they decided that role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons, Cyberpunk, all that sort of stuff, were evil. And if you played these games, you were worshipping the devil, and we're going to go straight to hell. And they went on this huge campaign where they had kids taken away from their parents, and they had kids that were put into institutions.
Oh, yeah, they convinced a lot of people.
There was book burning, and a lot of kids got hurt by it. A lot of kids got ostracized and wound up getting fucked up for life because of the religious convictions of this private organization with a alarmingly simple name of Focus on the Family.
Sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's focus on the family.
Focus on the Family is also the from the same people who brought you the Tipper sticker. Tipper Gore was heavily involved with this, you know, right-wing conservative Christian psycho nut group.
Yeah.
And they put all the stickers on the albums and drove a lot of artists under, like, just completely out of it. A lot of people died because they couldn't make ends meet. It was a horrible, horrible thing. Now, those little stickers... are not, you know...
They're still here.
They're still here, and it's censorship. And,
yeah.
And everyone seems to forget that the Tipper stickers are still here. Focus on the Family is a horrible, horrid organization that if you have anything to do with them, I would highly recommend, you know, just cutting all ties with them, because they're psycho-Christian bigots is what they are. But to prove this, on the heels of electoral victories barring same-sex marriage, some influential conservative Christian groups, namely Focus on the Family, are turning their attention to a new target, the cartoon character... SpongeBob SquarePants. Does anybody here know SpongeBob? Dr. James C. Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family. Okay, Dr. Dobson is a right-wing... This guy is like the Louis Farrakhan of the Christian world. Okay, this guy's a complete wingnut. He's the founder of Focus on the Family. Love this guy. Asked the guest Tuesday night in a black tie dinner for members of Congress and political allies to celebrate the... Now, can you imagine how crazy you have to be talking to members of Congress and political allies about SpongeBob Claire's
fans? The evils of a cartoon.
Named SpongeBob. SpongeBob needed no introduction to the members of Congress. Now, that scares me even more. In addition to his popularity among children who watch his cartoon, he has now become a well-known camp figure among adult gay men. Much like, say, Marilyn Monroe and Marlon Brando. And,
yeah.
Let's see, that song, you know, that I'm Still Alive. You know, not that one.
Probably.
First
awesome.
I was afraid, I was petrified.
Whatever, that song.
But,
you all know
there's
it.
A lot of things that are picked up by gay camp culture. So sort of all the Andy Warhol 50s art, the nuclear family stuff. That's just bullshit. Anyway, perhaps because he holds hands with his animated sidekick, Patrick, and likes to watch imaginary television show, The Adventures of Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, that's... Mickey Mouse used to hold hands. I don't see them attacking Mickey Mouse. Now, Dr. Dobson said SpongeBob's creators enlisted him in a pro-homosexual video. Pro-homosexual. In which he appeared alongside children's television colleagues like Barney and Jimmy Neutron, amongst many others. The makers of the video said he planned to mail it to thousands of elementary schools to promote tolerance pledge that includes tolerance in the differences of sexual identity.
We can't have tolerance.
No tolerance. If you find a faggot on the school grounds, you kill him with a rock. The video creator...
It says so in the Bible.
Actually, it says you should kill him with a sword. They should be, if a man lays with another man as he lays with a woman, put him to sword without fail.
Okay,
that's from the book of Leviticus, where it also says incest, people should be killed. You cheat on your wife, get killed. You know.
Right. Lots of killing.
Lots of killing there.
Good killing.
Good killing. You know... It seems to me here, Dr. Dobson, Jesus wants to forgive these guys. Why don't you give it a shot, too? The video's creator, Nile Rodgers, who wrote the disco hit We Are Family, We Are Family, said Mr. Dobson's objections stem from a misunderstanding. The misunderstanding is that Dr. Dobson is insane. Mr. Rogers said he found it... He's fucking Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
I know, but it's Mr. Rogers said he found the We Are Family Foundation after the September 11th attacks to create a music video to teach children about multiculturalism. The video has appeared in television networks, and nothing on its accompanying materials refers to sexual identity. The pledge, borrowed from Southern Poverty Law Center, is not mentioned on the video and is available only on the group's website. Well, you know. Focus on the Family, of course, is...
They must be really stretching for an enemy, aren't they?
Well, you know, I guess they're like, and SpongeBob's a terrorist, and that's not going to stick.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, leave him alone, you know? Anyway, here's something that you're... Okay, now, a lot of people have been thinking whether or not they want to get a distiller on their water supply. Some people use a filter.
Okay.
Or something like that in the United States. Okay, now is the time where you're going to be getting a distiller. If you are on a water supply and you have the ability to pick up some water filtration, please do that now. Reference this story. Many rivers and streams in the United States are believed to contain a toxic
antimicrobial
chemical whose environmental fate was never thoroughly scrutinized despite large-scale production and usage for almost half a century. According to an analysis conducted by researchers at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, the chemical triclocarban... Now, triclocarban, which is... T-R-I-C.
Triclocarban. Yeah,
triclocarban. Which has been widely used for decades in hand soaps and other cleaning products, was rarely monitored for or detected for in the environment. The new findings suggest that triclocarban contamination is greatly underreported. The studies published in the current online edition of Environmental Science Technology, all these links are on my live journal, you can check it out there. We've been using triclocarban for almost half a century at rates approaching 1 million pounds per year, but we have no idea what exactly happens to the compounds after we flush it down the drain. And this is coming from the study's lead author, Rolf Halden, PhD, PE assistant professor, blah, blah, blah. He's got all the accolades. And he's the founding member of its Center for Water and Health. Now,
so he's saying, watch out for the water.
Now, there's one guy somewhere off in the dark corner screaming, dude, we got a lot of, you know, this chemical that's going in the water that we don't know what its long-term effects are, and it could be toxic.
Yeah.
I would... Right now, just as this kind of story pops up, let's get some filtration.
So there's 50 million pounds of this stuff in the water supply right now.
Apparently.
50 years of it and a million pounds a year.
And of course, it's antimicrobial, so it kills microbes. And so that's got to, you know, that's what other water in the wild is full of, is microbes, because, you know, things live in it and stuff.
Definitely affecting things then, huh?
Yeah, I would say. And here's a chance to fuck the phone company. Now... I got a link here for a gadget. I don't like doing gadgets that much on the show, but this is one that we can use to screw over corporations.
Okay.
Yes. Skype is our baby daddy around here. Now, this is from Gizmodo, and this is just the write-up they have about the article. Skype is our baby daddy around here. Skype, of course, being like a CB program you can use over the web for free phone calls.
Yep.
I don't use it much for making calls to real phone numbers, but Denton, who's another guy there, practically cried when he made a Skype call over a hijacked Wi-Fi connection in the middle of Tokyo. Okay, I'd be hot over that. It was one of those great moments that happen when our disaffected attitude about technology takes a break and we can really get over something with proper perspective. So I wouldn't be surprised to see lots of these new PC Chrome or P Chrome Touch One Skype USB handsets around the Gawker Mint. It's just a phone, a corded one at that, and although a cordless version is on its way, but it makes and receives calls using the Skype Out service. It's $700 in Taiwan, which works out to about $22 in America.
Okay.
So what it does is essentially just a phone system that uses USB that you can make calls to and from using Skype.
Okay.
So it's essentially a wired phone that plugs into your computer. Goodbye, phone company. Thanks for coming out. And it's only a matter of time before we get into wearables. So if you want to check that out, do that.
Very cool.
Thought crimes. This is just when they start arresting people for software that talks about bad things, this is bad. The arrest this week of a Japanese author of a popular online file sharing program appears to be an extreme reaction, at least by American standards. By American standards, that's saying something. To his alleged abetting of copyright infringement, according to a patent attorney in Chicago. It's in what's been reported as the first arrest of a software developer for helping others violate copyright law. So he didn't do anything. He just wrote the program. Police pinched Isumi Kaneko, 33, of a teaching assistant at the University of Tokyo. Okay, so,
Oh, I've actually heard of this program.
So you've heard of this guy?
Yeah, well, I've heard of the program. It's called Winnie there.
Yeah, and the author of Winnie. So this guy's university author of Winnie, a peer-to-peer file sharing program that has been downloaded anywhere from 250,000 to 1 million people, most of them in Japan. Okay.
So they had to wait till 1 million people downloaded before they arrested him on like copyright infringement?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't 1 million people pretty small for Japan?
Yeah.
Isn't there like a boatload of people in Japan? Like, there's a lot of people in Japan, okay? Like,
millions, nothing.
If convicted of criminal charges, okay, the software developer, okay, criminal charges leveled against him by the police, Kaneko faces up to 3 years jail time or a fine of 3 million yen, $27,000 U.S.
For allegedly helping people distribute copyright material.
Wow.
First of all, this should not be a crime.
No. Not even.
He's not a criminal.
No, he's not involved in a crime. He didn't even make a weapon. All he did was he said something, hey, you can use this to distribute files. Whether or not you distribute these files that are copyrighted is not my concern.
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't put in proper measures to stop you, because I didn't put in black ice to prevent you from...
They're trying to pass a law in the United States right now that you have to put in preventative measures in your software so that it does not violate copyright infringement.
Good luck.
And it's like, well, how are you supposed to do that? Are you supposed to put in like little protection so a pen doesn't stab you in the eye when you make a pen?
Yeah, exactly.
You have to put a rubber stopper at the end of that, or it might stab someone.
They can't figure out how to stop it, so they're just going to go completely crazy.
It should be a civil matter, not a criminal matter.
Yeah.
You're distributing copyrighted material. This is not a criminal. This is somebody who's copying somebody else's works.
It's sick. It's totally sick.
And the police are getting involved. It's abuse of power, in fact.
Again, it's using...
There's criminals out there that are doing harm to people.
Oh, yeah. And the core political using...
This is completely core political.
Public muscle, namely the police, in order to enforce core political will. I mean, this is just, who's running the show? You know, is it us or is it the corporations?
It's pretty obvious.
That's what I want to know. So, next story. I mean, what else do you say to that? Yeah, it's corrupt in Japan. Thanks. World wonders at war. Now, this is kind of sad. Irreplaceable historic sites and religion artifacts are being destroyed by the U.S.-led occupation forces, says Iraq's interim culture minister. Well, this could be propaganda. But sites including Babylon, as in the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the world's most renowned archaeological treasures, are being damaged by the occupational forces, according to the minister Mufid al-Jazari or whatever. The minister also said Sunday U.S.-led forces need to leave the area as soon as possible to avoid further destruction. Heavy equipment, helicopters, and other machinery used by Polish-led forces based at Babylon, 100 kilometers south of Baghdad, are causing irreparable harm. Just their presence with the heavy equipment is harmful and in and of itself, the minister said, adding that helicopters landing takedown, landings, takeouts were just one of the problems. We don't know how much damage the military presence has caused because some of our experts are not permitted to enter the site. But we've received information that several archaeological sites have been damaged or destroyed. He said, mentioning the temples of Ninma and Nebu of the famed palace of Nebuchadnezzar, which sounds like a character from one of my books, but whatever.
Sad they have to get to this level.
Yeah, where they're destroying, didn't the Taliban actually destroy those two Buddhist statues and now America's in there destroying one of the eighth wonders of the world? Why are we doing that again? I don't
forget the people. What about the treasures, the national treasures?
What about
they have to go to this level to try and get them out of there? It's like, you're destroying world's treasures here doing this.
Sick. It's totally sick. And I mean, I remember thinking to myself, wow, I hope I can make it to see all the eighth natural wonders of the world someday, or man-made wonders of the world. And now they're all getting trashed.
six out of the seven are gone anyway.
Are they?
Yeah, these are ancient things that were gone a long time ago. There's only one or two left, and this is the one or two.
You know, so
they're all contained within a very small area.
That's right.
Around Egypt.
Statues and stuff.
Yeah,
and yeah.
They're mostly gone.
Still, that sucks.
So this is one of the ones that are
yeah,
left.
Yeah, so
actually.
You probably should increase the demand to keep them there. You know, just
yeah,
sort
just
of
a little bit.
So it seems there's some new freedom fighters who made themselves known on the web. Politically motivated hackers calling themselves the Internet Liberation Front. Please contact me for a new name. Have defaced six Republican websites on January 18th. On the modified pages, it read, in solidarity with the billions around the world who have been oppressed under the Bush agenda, the Internet Liberation Front has hacked and defaced six Republican websites who push forward the sick and violent ideology of warfare, capitalism, and profit over people. Followed by the anti-Bush and anarchist tactics, the hacktivists probably exploited the well-documented vulnerability in PHBB, which is widely used by crackers and worms over the past few weeks. For those who remember, the Internet Liberation Front, or ILF, brings us 10 years back in the computer security history when they hacked into companies like Pipeline, IBM, and AT&T, and tons of other accomplishments, including the defacement of the Hackers Movie homepage during a DEF CON conference.
Wow.
There's a mirror available here. Even thought the group seemed to be an international movement of independent hackers who share the same ideas, like same
explained in the defacement.
Like explained in the defacement. We are not a specific group of people. We are a generation of hackers who feel indignation and want to build a world free from parasitic bosses and rulers.
Parasitic bosses.
That's great. All who want to join the resistance movement are free to use the name ILF. We are everywhere. Well, in that case, don't contact me for a new name. That name works just fine. What we can notice that the defacements were quite organized, especially the way they were done to hit the media and look for worldwide supporters to help them spread their message. The defaced sites were such locations as Arizona YR, Freedom Institute, RepublicanFirst.com, ooh, I bet that was a nice one to get, StudentsForFreedom.com, FreeDominion.ca, and CollegeConservatives.com. And they're really pissed about being hacked, too, by the way. They're all like, we know where you are, we're going to find you and kick your ass.
We'll get you.
Yeah, we're going to get you. Nobody else could get them. They were defacing shit 10 years ago. You're still not going to get them. Shut the fuck up. So
they're everywhere, but nowhere.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool, personally. I mean, I like that. I think they're heroes. Yeah, I'll say it. Why not? Yeah, I think that's fucking right on. You do that, man. I think it's fucking cool. I'm not going to label myself as that this isn't an ILF broadcast or something like that. I'm not going to say that because that ties me to that group and I get, you know, shut down.
We'll take you down too.
But I'll stand up proud and say, yeah, I think that's fucking awesome that they did that. Thank you very much. More information, persecutions in the news. Technology firms Sony, you know, little bite people like Sony, Philips, Matsushita, which is huge, and Samsung. Okay, they've all these four core political corporations are developing a common way to stop pirating digital music and video. So four of them are getting together now. Four big guys are going to come up with a way to try to stop piracy.
Really?
Good luck, guys. The firm wants to make a system that ensures files play on hardware they make, but also thwarts illegal copying.
Let's see. We've been trying to stop it for 20 years now,
and
we haven't yet.
No, but
good luck.
And you know what? You might get some dream kid in there who can figure out a way to do that.
No.
But the rest of the world, the rest of the world is going to anything
the
simple
can be built rules,
can be unmade.
The simple rules. Can I hear it? Yes, I can copy it. Can I see it? Yes, I can copy it.
That's all there is to
unless you're stopping me from hearing it. I can copy it.
Furthermore, I bought
ridiculous.
It.
Ridiculous. Leave
me alone. The move could mean more confusion for consumers already faced by many different and conflicting content control systems, experts warned. They said there are no guarantees the system will even prevent piracy. Well,
but we're going to pour a lot of money into it and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean,
we're making tons of money, record profits. But we need to make some more.
Yeah, because, you know,
and
Sony's
waste
hurt
your money and jack up the prices even more on your software and movies and audio files.
It's sad, you know, really. I mean, what, you're not making enough money here? Give me a break.
Like, really, record profits.
Piracy is a way that people can distribute movies to see whether or not they want to buy them. Okay, people who want movies, you want to ask me how much pirated Ghost in the Shell material I have? The answer is none. I bought all legitimate stuff. Why? Because I'm like Savage Otaku over Ghost in the
it's
Shell.
Cool, and you get bonus stuff.
Yeah, and I got the T-shirt. I got two extra CDs. I'm totally about it. You've got to replace media that you find. You use piracy, just for any corporations who happen to be listening to this, you use piracy to find new stuff. That's what we do because we don't like advertising. So how do you think we get word around?
Word of mouth. That's right.
That's right. And the word of mouth would be peer-to-peer network. So
I just downloaded this cool thing the other day. Sean, you should check it out.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Wow, that's neat. I think I like the Appleseed. I'm going to tell 20 of my friends about it. And even though I tell 20 of my friends, okay, and they tell 20 of their friends, let's say five of them don't do it, you're still selling more discs. Okay, are you selling more discs today than yesterday? The answer is yes.
Put out a good product, people will buy it.
It's just that simple, man. Like, stop jerking my chain. This is just crap. I can't believe they're still on this crap.
Yeah, you know, you can't win. Stop fighting. Embrace it.
If you're not going to, you know, you're welcome to try. Sink as much money as you want into it. You know, it's kind of sad. You know, I'd like you to see you build more robots, you know, or something.
Robots are better to put your money into.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd be worried about people pirating your robots, because that's going to be coming down the pipe. You know, just like if you open the case, the robot detonates. It will try to close itself, and then it punches you in the face.
No, get away,
away. No, disassemble. Yeah, whatever. Fuck off. Now, a one-world government is scary.
Yeah.
How about a one-world bank? That's scarier than a one-world government. I believe a one-world government is unavoidable, but banks scare the shit out of me, okay?
Well, other than the International Monetary Fund?
I just
the Country Bank?
Yeah, I'm not really into that one. Wall Street legend J.P. Morgan Chase and U.S. retail Bank One have announced plans to join forces, okay?
Those are big banks.
Those are two big banks. The deal, which requires regulatory approval, will be the biggest financial sector merger in 5 years, worth some $60 billion. Okay? The transactions would consolidate J.P. Morgan's position, one of the world's second biggest bank after Citigroup, owned by Smith Barney.
It's even a bigger one. Wow.
Yeah. So when you look at that, you got to understand that, like, the banks and all these corporations are starting to merge, right?
They'd all love to merge into one big corporation. If it makes them more money, they'll merge. Why wouldn't they? It's all about the money.
Oh, yeah. You know, and again, because it's about the money. It's not about the people. It's not about profits. It's not about the guy in the farm who can't make his payments, so they just show up and stick a number on his door, and he winds up greeting him with a shotgun, and the SWAT team gets called, and nobody talks about it because he's suddenly a psycho. This psycho didn't want to leave his house at Ruby Ridge when guys showed up with guns. You know, it's like, well, you know, if you live there with your family and you're out in the middle of nowhere and people start showing up with guns, you're going to get a little concerned if nobody says they're a cop. You know? Further to that, what's going on? We're taking your house. No, you're not. My parents built this house. I was born in this house. You're not taking this house. It's my house. Yeah, we're taking it. Well, you'll take it right after you kill me because I'm not leaving peaceably. And that's how that works. Oh, you're being irrational. No, I'm just being honest. Like, it's just, people are like that.
Yeah.
It's their home. You know, you can't take people's homes. What are you doing? These people they work really hard. Like, people work their hands. Like, farmers and these people who get their farms foreclosed on, man, my heart bleeds for these people, dude. It's like they work so hard, and there's no way that anyone should work that hard and have to be, you know, just thrown out so carelessly like that. No wonder there's such a high suicide rate. News story, hack the eye. Spanish police have arrested a man suspected of creating a Trojan capable of making secret recordings of internet users through their webcams and stealing confidential information.
What?
Spanish Civil Guard units. Wow, there's a title. They're not police, they're Spanish Civil Guard units.
Whoa.
Caught the computer programmer, identified only by the initials JAS, spying on various net users through their webcams, when they surprised him at his home on Monday.
What?
The man is alleged to have created a Trojan horse program distributed through peer-to-peer file sharing networks like Kazaa. The Trojan horse could be hidden in a file, and once downloaded, gave the hacker remote access to the victim's computer.
Ah.
Okay, so he's zombieing computers.
Yeah.
And they're calling it spying through the eye. The Trojan installed a keystroke logger that recorded confidential information such as banking passwords. So he's a thief. He's not a hacker. He's a thief. At least they didn't call him a hacker. Oh, gave the hacker. They did call him a hacker.
Yeah.
He's not a hacker. He's a thief.
I don't know where the webcam comes into that. Oh, he can see his webcam. Ooh.
Well, because you can watch them through their webcams. And so that way, if they're having sex in front of the computer and the webcam,
you can go up to somebody's window and do the same thing.
You can, but then I'd have to leave my house.
You know what? Whenever I was finished the radio shows, I used to record them, right?
Yeah.
Because why not? I would always put the cap on the end of the camera.
Right.
Just because.
Yeah, well, I mean, a little bit of security would go a long way,
yeah.
I think, you know.
So...
more
if you're paranoid about that, turn the camera away to the wall or something.
More to the point, I mean, realistically, you should be probably unplugging cameras and stuff like that. I mean, this
unplugged
is just
the USB port.
A little bit of physical security goes a long way. LiveJournal,
yes.
You know what happened?
What?
LiveJournal site, why it went down? Somebody walked in, pressed a button, closed the case,
the big
walked
red
out.
Button.
They
yeah.
pressed the big red button. I'm like, where's your physical security guy?
Yeah.
Who's in charge of physical security there?
It was somebody who didn't work there.
Yeah.
It was like, just some guy unescorted, able to access the big red button that shuts the power off for the whole place.
Yeah. And you security staff, like, I swear to God. Like,
that's so bad.
Being as I have been employed in that particular field, if I knew what the servers were carrying and somebody tried to press a big red button, I'd break his freaking hand. I'd be like, whatever, pal. I'm going to snap your neck. Don't touch any buttons or I'll wreck you. You can't talk to me like that. Well, why don't you go find somebody? And I'll have the owner of LiveJournal come down to me and say, well, hey, man, I heard you stop that guy.
It's really funny because it happened before there.
Really?
And then they put a label on the button. Like, it was unlabeled. Just a button near a door. And the guy thought he opened the door. So he turned off the power that first time. Not the same guy. And then the second time is labeled. Now they're going to put a box over the button now.
I should put a box over the button and fill it with killer bees, man. Fuck that. I'm just
no,
like, whatever.
Must press the button.
Ah! You know? It's a kick now. I mean, shit. Where's that? New York? Because we'll just swing by there. Hey, guys. Just swing by to press the button. Click.
A little bit. We'd shut down LiveJournal for half a week.
Yeah, you know. It's fun. It's fun, you know. All right, and we got one for some more national ID nightmares. Identity management is the key to seamless exchange of information from sensors and weapons and logistics, maintenance and resupply organizations, breaking down traditional barriers between warfighting.
What the hell's warfighting?
This is from a Department of Defense website. Warfighting. The difference between warfighting as like a tool. That's like something you do. It's like, you know, like media or email. It's warfighting. And support systems and crossing organizational boundaries that have been placed for decades. The ability to share information with the right decision makers.
Yeah.
And react with speed presumes the security of the network and the ability to trust the identities of the people, information, and the systems that write on it. Now, I love the way they phrase this. You know, you can always tell the military.
So good. Right?
The successful adoption of identity management technology is the key enabler of networks electronic warfare that will provide a robust, standard-based, interoperable environment for identification, authorization, and authentication of people, software applications, and hardware devices.
I love that. Identification, authorization, authentication.
That's right. We're all kitted out over here, and if you don't stop screwing around with our army game, we're really going to find you and nail your head to the floor. These technologies are going to give U.S. warfighters global access to real-time collaboration. Now, the Defense Department has been world leader in adoption of the smart card, biometric, and public key infrastructure technologies. The department team has championed the development of a federal smart card interoperability standard and has successfully deployed the first open standard-based, large-scale implementation of a smart card technologies in the world, a device called the Common Access Card, or CAC, as in suck my.
CAC.
Suck my CAC. The CAC, which we're all going to get right in a keister, the CAC combines identification, PKI technology, and physical access on a single platform for identity management, and combines that with your rights going straight down the shitter.
Isn't there something in the Constitution for free movement within the country and a right to privacy?
No one reads the Constitution anymore.
Oh, right.
More than 5 million CACs with the PKI certificate have been issued, making this effort perhaps the largest identification and credentialing system in the world. So it seems to me that the next link, which you can get on my LiveJournal page, The Daily Hack, which tells you how to fake fingerprints. This got sent to me by PigMonkey, and it's really, really sexy. It's it's hosted at... I'm going to cough. Talk.
Okay. La, la, la. He's
not
back.
Not quite over it yet, you know what I mean? I'm still working on it, though. It's in a site in Germany. It's really, really cool how they do it. They got it. It's not just, you know, a bunch of guys with some erasers here. This is some good stuff.
Good it's not in the U.S. That'd be taken down for terrorism.
Oh, yeah. In order to fake a fingerprint, one needs an original first. Latent fingerprints are nothing but fat sweat on touched items. Thus to fat and sweat on touched items. Thus, to retrieve someone else's fingerprints, in this case, fingerprint you want to forge, one should rely on testing forensics research. Ah!
You clicked on it.
I did click on it.
Well, there it is.
There it is. And methods, which is to be explained here. So if you go to the site, they actually take you step by step how to
fake a fingerprint.
It's sexy.
That's nice.
Very, very sexy. Yeah, it's very cool. Especially, you know, something to have kicking around in case you're going to be using somebody else's fingerprints or you want to leave misleading fingerprints. Don't forge anything to gain access because that'd be illegal. But is there any laws against changing your own fingerprints, like changing your hairstyle?
I sure hope not.
No, why would
I
there
bet
be?
There is.
I bet there is.
I bet they could find and finagle a way to say that you're a Well, they do for a bandanas. You can't wear them on your face.
No, that's true.
So you're concealing your identity, and well, that could be charged under that.
Well, okay, let's say for example there. You get your hands on a fingerprint. You change the fingerprint. You alter a fingerprint. Okay, you take a fingerprint from someone who's
Let's say make one up.
Because make one up.
That's impersonating somebody else.
That's true. That's identity theft.
Identity theft.
So what if you made up a fingerprint?
Take your own, alter it a bit, you know, mess around
with
the lines.
Do that in there. And if you know your fingerprints aren't in a database and you get fingerprinted by a cop somewhere.
Which I'm not in any database.
You're not?
And I hope when we go to New York that we're not going to be fingerprinted.
Dude, I'm here to tell you, you're in a database. Okay, I'm in the database. Okay,
well,
I've never given
fingerprints.
No,
so
but
they could have picked them up from somewhere and used them.
Oh, man, I've given fingerprints so many times it hurts. I barely got any fingerprints left, so I've given them all away.
Shave them off.
Oh. Okay, check this out. Authority to designate SSI expanded. Now, SSI, what the hell is that?
I don't know.
The Department of Transportation has expanded the authority of its senior officials to designate information as sensitive security information, i.e. information unrelated to transportation security, to which public access is prohibited.
These are the guys that build the roads and stuff, right?
Yeah, you're not allowed to know what we do when we're building the roads. The role of the SSI control marking has become controversial, and the critics have charged that it is used excessively to inhibit oversight and public accountability. So now they have the ability to deem whatever they want SSI. The Secretary of Transportation is delegated to the administrators of all departments of transportation, DOT, agencies, the General Counsel, and the Director of Intelligence and Security, that the securities authorities to determine that information is sensitive security, blah, 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 blah.
Just goes on and on.
These guys are wordy bastards, man. You know, just how about, there's a group in the States of plain English guys.
Yeah.
I can't stand that, it's not like I'm really ignorant. You know, I'm actually a fairly well-read person. I can keep up with, you know, some McLuhan stuff, and I can keep
up with
some...
It's nice to be able to read something without dissecting it for half an hour, though,
you know,
right?
What it is they don't want people to be able to understand it, so, you know, that's why...
Make it boring as hell.
Oh,
da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, and when people can read, and they do read, and everyone should read, and focus a lot of time on reading every day, but when people can read every day, and they can keep track of what's going on, they manage to get a little bit more involved with what's happening in the world. Now, this was seen before, and the guys who tried to prevent us from reading before was who? The Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church wanted to keep everything in Latin. It wasn't until just this last century.
So the only elite can read it, right?
Well, only the trained priest can tell you what's in the Bible.
It's probably illegal to learn Latin unless you're...
Well, you had to be schooled, right? You had to be schooled.
Right,
so they
prevent
them
that way.
So the way they prevent it is you must have this amount of money to go to school and then not be worried about a trade or money so you can learn Latin, then be so, you know, into it to actually learn the Bible and whatnot. And even still, you'd have biblical scholars inside the church and be like, no, you don't know nothing.
We cannot read these books.
Exactly.
You cannot come in here.
This is all. But once, you know, you rip the veil off the curtain there, and you can see the wizard's just this little, you know, angry dude with a hat on dancing up and down.
Levers. Yeah.
You know, it's all crap. And we know it's crap. And no matter how you try not to hide it, the Americans can see this. Okay. They can see that as long as they keep people stupid. You know, why else are they allowing all these drugs to get pumped into our culture?
Yeah,
restricting information. You restrict the information, keep people stupid. Nobody's going to figure out what's going on.
Keep them drugged up so they don't care.
Yeah, feed them TV.
Yep.
You know, 30
drugs
frames.
And TV.
Yeah, apparently there's something about the frame rate of television which nurses people into some sort of a psychosis or a trance or something like that.
Quite possibly, but that would be just by chance because it was based on the frequency of the power through to supply the television.
Oh, really?
Because it's, yeah. So it's just by chance.
Well, that's cool.
Like 60 hertz.
Oh, is it?
Right, so they divide it in half and it's 30 frames a second. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that's had that much of an effect because now apparently when you combine, you know, television with the lack of education in the United States and you combine that with, you know, the drugs, so you got television,
great
drugs.
Great formula.
You know, and nobody's, I mean, when was the last time everybody got courage to read? You know, we're too busy trying to teach our kids to rat on our parents for, you know...
drug offenses.
For drug offenses, you know. I saw my dad smoking a joint. Should I tell? You know, well,
turning
Bobby.
In your friends and neighbors for terrorism. And
oh, yeah, you know, and piracy. You know, my dad...
Yeah.
My dad watches a movie that was on a double dub tape, and I'm just wondering if I should... Is that piracy? Because if it is, should I phone that number?
Yeah.
I mean, dude...
You hear that stuff.
It happens, and people are going to wind up getting... You're destroying families now for profits. Way to go.
Good on ya.
Aren't you a team cool guy?
Success. another dollar made.
Yeah, you betcha. And I hope, honestly, you know, if you better pray that Sim is right and there is no, you know, grand poobah god type figurehead waiting for you.
Because you will get yours.
You'll be fed to the frog. Okay, seriously, there's a huge frog sitting just... No, that's in Leviticus, eh? A lot of people don't know that.
Big frog.
Yeah, there's a big frog in Leviticus.
Sweet.
His name is Jalsurai.
What does he do?
He sits on the gate by St. Peter. And anyone who's...
what?
Seriously, yeah, no, it's in... No, I'm
the gate or the frog?
Well, I think it's in there, yeah. It's in the version I got, anyway.
But is this like the gates of hell? You throw him in the frog tunnels down Saint to Peter, hell, or
it's,
what?
It's St. Peter's pet frog.
and lie.
No, I'm not.
I've never heard of this.
No.
I would have heard of a big fat frog.
No, you bet. No, there's
myself being ignorant of religion. And
no, there's a big frog. there's a big, big frog.
Call him on it. Come on, people out there.
All right,
see
well,
this frog.
All right, there's no big frog. Why not? I could write
That'd
my own
cool.
version. God told me. There you
yeah,
go. God you told me. God told me there was a big frog
yep.
that St. Peter had.
Rewrite the Bible.
There you go.
Add it in.
Yeah, and I like that idea, don't you?
I think
I mean,
it's cool.
Like, that's well, there could be a big frog because, you know, how...
Were you good?
Yeah, well...
We've got the frog here.
I made a lot of money. No, you get fed to the money frog. The money frog? You know, not so good, you know, for the money frog.
That's so good.
But, well, you know, I mean, it'd just be great. You know, this big tongue comes out, grabs this poor bastard. He's like, drags Sam Raimi style into the gaping jaws of this bulbous.
Chewing him up, the legs are hanging out his mouth, the side of his mouth.
See, that? It looks like he's getting eaten by a Porsche. So, which they like that, because all those kind of people, you know, they all enjoy Porsches and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
good. But that's all I got for you this particular day. So not to worry, we will be back tomorrow. Well, I will be back.
Sean will be back tomorrow. I will be at home.
Yes, in fact, waiting for my broadcast so he can put it
that's
on the
right.
air.
That's
but,
right.
And you can get the news that you need to stay alive. And this is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations from the people of December.
December. These people donated in
These
December.
Are December's people.
January's people will be read February 1st onward to February 28th or 29th, depending on a leap year.
And I have no idea who you are, but I love each and every one of you January people. However, the December people who I'm currently loving are...
lots of love, December people right now.
Jesse, Lars, Michael, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, Derek, Eric, Jason, Peter, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Greg, Richard, WebLife, Drake... Matt, Evan, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, William, Trevor, Jonathan, Mark, Kitsune, Art, Matthew, Christopher, Kyle, Justin, and Matthew.
Thank you.
We love
very
you.
Very much.
If you would like to help keep this daily broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donations button, and you can learn more about how to keep me so that we can get you the information you need. It's important in this day and age for us to do this because, as you can see, things are getting a whole lot worse. We got 4 more war years coming up,
yep.
and it's going to be getting really, really hardcore.
You never know when broadcasts like this will be trying to be shut down.
Oh, that's true. And to be honest with you, even though it's kind of a scary time, I'm a little bit excited right now because for the first time in a long time, Rant Radio is now, well, Rant Media. Rant, I keep on saying Rant Radio now because it's 5 years and it's always been Rant Radio. But now, I mean, we're bigger than that. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
Is it's turned into Rant Media. We're gathering forces like every day, more and more people.
Yeah, there's video, there's text. I mean, there's the Pain Magazine, which the new episode's coming out, new editions coming out soon. That's exciting.
It's great. And Frack just went down. Did you hear about that, Frack Magazine?
Really?
Yeah, they're coming out with their last episode, which is too bad. They've been around before I got into the game.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, because we need organizations like that. We don't have to have, you know, Frack go down. If you need to get a chance, get a copy of all their files. They give away all their stuff for free. Brilliant people. It's so sad to see them go.
Yep. We need more organizations like this and Frack and all the other ones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even...
The more information, the better. The more diversity, the better.
Yeah, we need to focus, you know... Even
on the
if,
family. No.
Even on the... Yeah, not on the... Focus on your own damn family. It's just a matter of, like, putting down all of our barriers between, you know, the hacker crew and whatever. I know Blacklisted 411 and 2600 had a bit of a war, but guys, we need to put that shit down for just a little while. And focus on the bigger picture right now.
Yeah.
Special thanks to the reporters, Transic, Sylvanus, Jinjin Machina, Ricky Rocket, Wagga War, Nighthawk, and Bubbles. Digital Baptisms, which is Kumiriko, is now known as Datamesh.
A lot easier to pronounce.
Yes, I like Datamesh.
Datamesh.
And if you have any information or particular stories you want to get outed on the air, please email them to newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-L-A.
Play.
N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up Trust in Trance by Imperative Reaction. No, wrong. By Astral Projection.
There you go.
And so I had that on for my other one. But Imperative Reaction is also a good band. But yeah. They did not happen to pick up. They did not make the album Trust in Trance. That was by Astral Projection. Astral Projection, I played them, I think, last week. They're the guys said were the – they would be the guys who did all the other music at that rave in Blade. So
right. Yeah.
It was very, very cool. So have you got anything else, Sim?
No.
That's
not
it
at all.
Okay, man. Until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.